Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Yo, Chicago, we're back at it again with La Verdad Podcast here. I got Carlos in the room, and we got some other guests here, too, that are joining us for the weekend. So, Carlos, go ahead and introduce yourself, man. People want to know.
Well, I don't got to introduce myself. They know who I am. Again, I'm happy to be in Chicago again. It's a city I really love. I like coming out here every once in a while, kick it with friends, and today's no difference. Christian's invited a couple friends of his, and I brought one of mine from Michigan. So, ladies, you want to introduce yourself?
Who do we have? Who do we have here?
They're shy. It's all right. It's all right. Go ahead.
My name's Nati. I'm from Chicago, and I'm here with my best friend.
You're actually from the city of Chicago? What part?
I am. I'm from the Northwest side. I live in the Portage Park area right now.
Okay. Where'd you grow up at?
Belmont Cragin, so not okay, too far okay. from you.
Yep. My hood.
Yeah. Our hood.
Not grow up in the hood.
You didn't grow up in the hood. Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in the suburbs in Franklin Park.
And what's your suburbs. Name?
Yes. What?
What's your name?
Oh, Vanessa. Sorry. All right. Sorry. Cool.
They're a little shy, but you know what? We brought them in because a lot of people have been telling us, you know, most of our podcasts are male guests, right?
Yeah.
So we were like, you know what? I got two friends that could come over and do a little quick show. So we're going to get a female's perspective on a lot of the shows
stuff that we're doing. Real talk, we don't have a 100% set plan.
No, we're just chilling. It's nice outside.
They were asking us, what are we going to talk about? We need a topic. And truth is, we don't know. We're just going to talk. At some point, probably relationships. But outside of that, it's just whatever flows. And my homeboy Ivan just brought the beers. Yeah, introduce yourself.
My name is Ivan. I'm out here.
Just El Taliban.
You know, we just chilling here. Get it cracking, you know, so I'm just...
So you from where?
I'm from Grand Rapids. Okay. Out of Grand Rapids, yeah, we...
3 hours away.
3 hours away. Small city. Ish.
Hey, born and raised in Grand Rapids.
Respect yourself, man. Mid-sized city.
Mid-sized city. Mid-sized
about 200,000 people. Metro area has about 1 million. So it's not small, but it's not big.
Exactly.
Are you from born and raised in Grand Rapids? Or?
Oh, not at all, man. I'm Dominican, you know, born and raised true out there in my...
what part, man?
Okay.
Big shout out to the Dominican people listening to us right now.
But yeah, we out there. We came out here, and I was 9 years old around there, and just been living here since.
It's
nice to have a fellow Dominican with me, man. Because
this place is full of Dominicans today, man.
No, but hold on. The podcast so far has been like super Puerto Rican heavy, Puerto Rican centric.
Listen.
I love Puerto Rico. My grandma had a house in Loíza, and I spent some summers there, and so I love Puerto Rico, but I want to mix it up a bit.
No, I feel you, bro. So what part of DR are you from, Carlos?
I was born in a smaller city called San Francisco de Macorís.
Okay.
But most of my family...
I've heard it in a couple of merengue songs.
North side, by the way, north side.
But my family, like where I normally stay whenever I go back, is Santiago.
North side.
You're correct. They're about like 45 minutes from each other. But I lived in New York when I was about... I moved to New York when I was about 6 months old. And so before I lived in Michigan, I lived in New York for a good like... 10 to 11 years.
Yeah. Okay.
What are the big differences between New York and Michigan?
New York and Grand Rapids, right? Because there's a lot of cities. Okay. When I first moved there, that's a really good question, though. When I first moved there, and I know 100% without even asking Ivan that he can identify with this, the first thing I would be asked is, I was like, hey, what's your name? Hi, my name's Carlos. Then I'm like, where are you from? Dominican Republic. And it's like, oh, is that like in Mexico somewhere? I'm like, that's not in Mexico.
Not at all.
And they'll be like, Puerto Rico. I was like, no, it's not Puerto Rico. then they were like, so where's it? I was like, oh, it's a little island next to Puerto Rico, but it's different. So I would have to break it all down. And over the years, especially over like the last 15 years, there's been a wave of people migrating from, it used to be only from New York, but now it's a lot of people coming straight from Dominican Republic.
There's mad Dominicans up there in Grand Rapids.
And so it's really growing. And it's kind of cool because, and I said this a few podcasts ago, the way I look at the community kind of bubbling and growing is the way a city like Chicago would have been maybe 50 years ago when the big waves of Puerto Ricans and Mexicans started coming here. Yeah. And so we're kind of one of those early waves of that growing Latino population in the city.
So basically, like the podcast that we talked about with the Young Lords founder, Chacha Jimenez, so like that era. But is there any discrimination like that over in Grand Rapids? Like what we were experiencing back in the 50s?
I think that anytime you live in a place that's majority white, or anytime you go into an area where it's dominated by, you know, majority culture, you're going to experience some of that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, of course, but just like I know that if I lived in Chicago, I could encounter some of those things too.
Yeah.
So the short answer is yes.
And to be
100%. But real quick, but the truth is the Latino community really makes its presence felt in the city to the point where 100%, it's definitely a lot better than what it was even just 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, and the crazy part is that, and you guys could kind of like attest to it, is that Chicago is segregated as hell.
Yeah.
Like, you just go to like one spot, it's like little village where it's all Mexicans.
Right.
Or Pilsen, it's like mostly gentrified now, but like you go to Humboldt Park, that's the Puerto Rican area, you know, and Belmont Craig is Polish. Uh-huh. And then now it's a lot of Latinos starting to move into the area, but Chicago is like straight up, like you have your mark and your territory. So like that's why with the whole like Young Lords movement, it was like, yo, you needed to defend yourself because it's mad and real out here, man.
One of the things I've noticed just visiting different cities, and again, I don't want to plug in exactly where I work, but I travel a lot for my job, and you know, I'm always trying to find, let me find like a little Puerto Rican or Mexican place. That's usually what's mainly around, and you'll find the same things in city across the U.S. Right. When I lived in New York, you have your Dominican areas, and then right next to it, you got Harlem, and right next to you got Spanish Harlem.
Yeah.
Then you got Washington Heights, which is where all the Dominicans are at. But, you know, 100 years ago, it was mainly Jewish.
Yeah.
Just like this neighborhood was, you told me, Polish, and now it's becoming mainly Latino, or it's already there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't been here a lot. But it's one of those interesting things that happen when people in community start mixing and bumping into each other. You have some, like historically, you'll have things like white flight, right? So when the highway started getting built in the middle of last century, the highway was a mechanism for the early original communities, right? So the Polish, Italians, the Irish, the Germans, depending on where you're at, they started moving to the suburbs, and then the Latinos, the blacks, started coming into the inner cities.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're seeing the reverse process,
exactly.
Right? Where people with more funding, typically white, right? But even folks of all backgrounds are coming back into the city. The prices get raised. I mean, you were telling me how much things cost around here. It's like, damn.
Yeah.
So the rents, everything gets raised, and the poor people who have been living here for decades then can't afford it, and you start seeing the poor people migrating back out to the suburbs, which was the case like 50, 60 years ago. So you're seeing the reverse process happening all around the country.
It's definitely happening a lot here in Chicago. You could see it. Like if you go back to, let's just talk a little bit about where Cabrini Green was located at, which was
infamous.
Yeah, the infamous Cabrini Green.
What is that, Wicker Park or like Bucktown now? It's like over there in that area.
It's a little bit farther past there. It's a little bit closer to downtown, which is where a lot of the slums sorry, I didn't mean to say slums, but like a lot of the bad areas, right, in the city were at. So then they started getting gentrified. They split up Cabrini Green. And if you're listening and you know a little bit more about Cabrini Green and you could come in and talk to us about it, I'm more than willing to listen because I need to get a little bit better versed on it.
Build up that history.
Yeah, so when Cabrini Green came through, they split it up. And then all the people that were in Cabrini Green, they got scattered around Section 8 housing and stuff like that. And they didn't know how to react because it was just so, you know, in La Cuatro Esquina, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were just stuck in one area that when they got placed into different areas, they didn't know what to do. So then you have Chicago right now that's like in a rapid, definitely violent city because of a lot of the things that are happening, a lot of these little gangs that were in the Cabrini Greens, and now they have to live on their own, right, in these areas. So we definitely see that a lot, you know, especially in the areas that we're at right now, in this area, Belmont Craig and neighborhood, we're starting to see a lot of the Latinos that were in the Humboldt Park area moving into our area now.
Right.
And you start, you know, feeling that little bit of a culture shock too, you know, because you're so used to dealing with a certain crowd, mm-hmm. that now you go into this new neighborhood. Let's just say you're a Boricua and you're walking into an Italian or a Polish neighborhood. Now you have to, like, you know, you can't be the same way as you were before. They won't treat you the same way. So,
and it's hard not to have mixed feelings about it, because it's always cool when people from different cultures could bump into each other, meet, interact, because there's a lot of good that can come out of that. And so on the one hand, it's like, yo, I love this, you know, our communities interacting with other communities. But then on the flip side, it's like, damn, we're getting priced out of here.
Yep.
And so it's a love-hate relationship with that whole process.
Now, a question that we can start talking about a little bit here is, have you guys ever experienced a time? Because we've been talking a lot about education, right, in school, right? And I went to a public grammar school, public high school, and I definitely experienced a lot of some of the teachers that were not, let's just say, ready to teach in an urban setting. Have you guys experienced that at all? Like, when you were, did you guys go to a public school?
Yeah, I went to a public middle school and then public high school. Shout out Lane Tech. Hey. but definitely, I experienced a lot of just teachers who I think didn't know how to teach in the urban area. Like you said, didn't know how to handle the kids because they, in my opinion, they just didn't understand what the kids were really going through. So they didn't know how to... approach the situation correctly.
Yeah.
They lack cultural competency.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Ivan?
Well, my schools, the teachers at first to me were, what I would see, they was a start understanding what the students go through and what they're about. You know, like, I used to go to public schools as well throughout my whole high school and middle school type of era. And the schools, they just do, the classes that I took and the teachers that were there, they just knew kind of what kids were all about, just in the Little Grand Rapids area.
Shout out Britton.
Britton Middle School. Britton Middle School, Central High School. Okay. The teachers were a little older than what they are now, too, because now you have a lot of younger teachers that don't know really what's going on with the kids and everything like that.
Yeah.
But back then, the teachers were a little bit older, and they kind of know and been through it and kind of been through with kids that grow up in the area and go through. And know what they go through.
Yeah.
So I mean, I seen them the change that they have not from then to now is a little bit different.
And that's interesting that you say that the older teachers kind of like, I mean, that the newer teachers, they didn't know how to like accommodate or como se dice, you know. And I had the opposite, because I used to have a counselor who was a little bit older, and I went to Lincoln, shout out Lincoln Park High School. Since we're doing shout outs here. I went to Lincoln Park High School, and I had a counselor there who, I remember going to the office and I was like, yo, I need to, I want to apply to Lewis University. I want to apply to DePaul, all these other schools, excuse me. And, he's like, what for? You know, you should go to a trade school. You know, there's
same thing happened to me.
There's a high rate of Latinos dropping out of school and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yo, fuck you. Like, I felt like, man, I got so pissed. And it was just like, kind of like, granted, my GPA wasn't the best in high school and I was going through senioritis, but yo, like, that stayed in my mind the whole time. I'm like, yo, like, it's kind of bogus. Like, why don't you? And then if it wasn't for teachers that were a little bit younger, you know, and more urban, in an urban setting, you know, I probably would have just gone to a trade school and not gone to college at all. You know, it just kind of like impacted me in that sense, where it was like, I had a young teacher that was like, yo, you need to go to college, or you need to do this, you need to join a frat, do this, that. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, I took those.
Did all of the above
advice, did all of the above, and now I got a podcast.
Laverdadltd.com.
Definitely. Shameless plug.
You know, no shame.
No shame at all.
Listen, most of my schooling experiences from kindergarten till high school were all in primarily Black and Latino schools, except for one semester where I lived in Ohio, first semester of sophomore year, and it was a suburb of Cleveland called Lorain. It's weird because it was my first time being in a school that's mainly white, but there was a bunch of Puerto Ricans. I don't know where they came from.
Yo, Puerto Ricans are deep as hell in Ohio. Yo, I don't know why.
It was just packed with Puerto Ricans.
So I don't know why.
So all my...
They don't even have platano over there, bro. Like, I don't know why.
All my friends in that school were Puerto Rican. And I had my little table, my art table. It was, we were all Puerto Rican. three of us knew English, but one of them had just moved to the U.S. from Puerto Rico. And so by default, all we spoke was Spanish in our table. Then one day we had a... My art teacher was cool. My art teacher was mad cool. And she wouldn't have a problem with any of it because she knew that I would kind of be one of the ones who was like, hey, guys, just listen to her for a minute. Let's do our work. It's art. You're going to pass. Just do the work. So I would be real cool with her. But there was an administrator. I don't know if she was like a dean of students or something. Everyone was talking in the class, but our table wasn't Spanish. So this was about 2005. And she walks over us and just loudly says, this is America. We got to speak Spanish. Oh. Yo, like my blood boiled.
But see, that's the problem.
This is America. You got to speak English. Huh?
Correct. And so I turned around. I think she had been used to students who didn't talk back. Because I didn't know who she was. Everybody was surprised I spoke back to her. Yeah. So I guess she must have been. So I still don't know who she was. She must have been important. So I looked back and I was like, what? And she said, I said, this is America. We should speak English. She should learn how to speak English. I said, I don't know how I knew this. I think I might have heard it. Like, it might have been George Lopez or somebody on TV. I was like, listen, America doesn't have an official language. So he and I could speak Spanish all we want, and there's nothing you can do about it. The teacher's cool with it. I forgot her name, but shout out to you. You were real cool. And the teacher's cool with it. I actually help her interact with her students because there's a language gap here. So you nor anyone else is going to tell me how to talk. And then she just stayed quiet, got mad, and walked away. The teacher came up to me and then said, thank you. So, and that's one of those, that it was at that point the first time I actually spoke out, because I was a good student. Like, I wasn't a goody two shoes, but I did my work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so after that point, honestly, I've always just spoken back. If I see like that it's wrong, especially in an academic setting, I've always liked to challenge my teachers at any level. And so challenge your teachers. And real quick, since we did the shout out Central High School, Burton Middle School, Hall Elementary, but now call Cesar Chavez Elementary.
Why do they all sound like mad Michigan schools, dog? Like, you know, we got schools over there that...
PS 113. I mean,
that's New York.
We're going to go to New York. PS 345. PS 68.
That's exactly
what I would have gone to IS 77 in Queens, but then we moved to Michigan.
See, over here, we got like Malcolm X.
No, we got those two, though. Yeah, we got schools like that. I just told you, Cesar Chavez Elementary.
Okay.
We have an MLK Elementary school, too, you know, like it's just... Listen,
they got Thurgood Marshall over here. James Monroe. Shout out James Monroe Elementary School. Best. Oh, the funniest.
Those were the good old days, though. Those were the good
days. See, buttons. I can't speak to any of that because I didn't grow up in
But it's all right. It's Love or That Podcast. What's your truth? What was your experience?
Okay, so I went to... Shout out to Leiden High School.
Shout out Leiden High School.
Shout out.
West Leiden. Sorry, let's make it clear. There's two of them. All two right, campuses. Right. No, I didn't... See, what I've experienced just because of the work that I do and working with kids that do go to this inner city schools is I've noticed just the difference in the education that's mm-hmm. just what's being taught at the schools, right? So where I went to school, I was fortunate enough to have some great teachers. It's not a high-end, top-notch mm-hmm. school, but I had some really great teachers.
You recognize the difference.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I mean, for example, I'm not going to name the school, but I was working at a high school. And the student said that her homework assignment was to write a paragraph. This is a high school. And she's like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Damn.
At high school, how do you not know how to write a paragraph? So I didn't even know where to start because we had to go back to, okay, uh-huh. do you know what a sentence? I mean, it sounds rude, but you're in high school and you're asking me what is a paragraph.
Yeah, by junior year, I was writing papers. Uh-huh.
So, not really, man. I had to take sentence and grammar, like sentence and paragraphs.
You took
like
that pre-100 class in college.
But I mean, to speak to your comment CPS about school. What you said, how you said you wanted to go to this school, and they're like, no, why don't you do that? So I think I've experienced is that a lot of schools in the city have set the bar at a so much lower level than mm-hmm. what the bar that I had, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and they thought, okay, well... The kids in the city can't perform at this level, so let's lower our expectations. Yeah. And that's why all these kids are thinking that they're doing great. And I see a lot of these kids like, yeah, I have this GPA, that GPA, and it's like,
that's really you. Not I'm, the GPA I'm doing really good. I got a 2.7.
To college. Yeah, so it's sad, but I mean... And then
I work with those students every day.
Yeah. And then you have the struggle on the teacher side where now this whole Common Core thing's been brought in, and I'm not educated at all on what
fuck
that looks
the Common
like.
Core.
I really don't. Looking
I don't
at
even know what that is.
Oh no, I'm not joking. I'm saying I know what it is, and I it's really yeah, it's not it's, it. It doesn't make sense.
So I mean,
you know, these teachers, and then every time these students are always taking some test, whether it's the park test or this test and that test. And I'm like, when are you learning?
How to do taxes.
Exactly. And so I've heard teachers just kind of, you know, they joke around like, that's their joke. Like, oh, we're taking a test again. We're doing a test again. Yeah. They're not teaching it at all.
You're seeing that around the country. So what's happening is teachers, and this has been going on for a long time, but it's been increasing over the years. They're teaching to test. So they're really just helping you get ready for the next
anxiety
test.
Is in an all-time high right now. Man.
Yeah, and so they're getting ready for the next test rather than learning for the sake of learning. And what they don't realize is that when you start teaching kids in a way that can relate to them a lot more, right, the test scores shoot through the roof already.
Okay. That's interesting, man. But it's just one of those things where, like, if I was to be taking tests on a day-to-day basis, man, my anxiety would be through the roof.
Yeah.
And all these kids are going through that. No, and not just that, but let me switch the conversation a little bit. But as soon as they see, like, a kid that's hyper, man, they start classifying them real quick and giving them pills. But that's a different conversation. And if you're a doctor or a psychologist or something, hit me up, because we got to talk a little bit more about that. But you were saying...
It's a whole other subject.
Oh, yeah.
You were saying in regards to your high school?
Which part? What do you mean?
I think she was done with what she was saying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We do not listen to
you. I thought I cut somebody off.
No, I'm done. I'm good. I'm just saying I couldn't really speak to what you guys were saying.
Yeah,
I couldn't
relate
to that. I didn't have teachers that were telling me, no, you should do this.
Correct.
I don't think you can do that.
But that's real. We all have and experience different things, so everyone can bring a different perspective to that particular problem or issue. Yeah. So nothing. What's your experience?
I think, like I said earlier, I did definitely have experience with teachers who just didn't really care. And I think it's coming a lot from the younger teachers. But I don't want to bash them, because I have a lot of friends who are younger teachers in Chicago. And
it's hard. It's hard work.
It's hard. Yeah. It's extremely hard.
It's probably one of the toughest jobs I could think of.
I can never be a teacher.
We have a... Well, I won't say his name, but we all have a friend who's a teacher in Detroit, and he's had, like, kids who are 10 years old who are coming in, like, with pee pants, all dirty. It's like, how are you going to learn if that's where you're starting right? And their kids are fighting. They 10 years old, they jumped another kid, so they called the cops. Like, you're in the system at 10, right? Like, just getting into fifth grade, before even middle school. And so... There's so much that can be altered about that system, but at the same time, it's important to acknowledge that the work is really hard, and that a lot of times people are trying their best, but there's so many structural barriers, even at the teacher level, at the administrative levels, that everyone's kind of just pushing it and trying to stay afloat.
Yeah, and to the teacher's defense, like, and I think this goes back to kind of any subject especially with Chicago and the youth, it starts at home. Like, the teachers are with them 8 hours a day, and they're trying to implement something, and, you know, homework or whatever. It goes back home, and if the parents are not doing their job, then it makes the teacher's job that much harder, even though it's hard already.
So it's kind of funny, because, like, we just had a podcast earlier today, and we talked with David Blancas, who's a CPS teacher here for high school students.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned that he went to the first, I think, a couple years in Mexico he was in school, but that the teaching structure was so different. Mm-hmm. But one of the key things about it was that everybody that went to school was because your parents had to pay for you to go to school, right? So it takes a little bit of a different perspective behind it, because I feel now, like, I remember when I went to college, right, I was paying out of pocket, so I'm like, shit, I gotta go to class, right. I gotta listen,
get it together.
I gotta pass this test, because if not, man, that's gonna be my ass, you know, paying for this education. Mm-hmm. So then I wonder sometimes if, you know, if it's the fact that education is free in this country that's making it a big thing, where it's just like, hey, you know, it's just gonna be my daycare for my kids for those 8 hours. But I wonder if those parents were paying for school, then they'll probably be like, yo, you better get your fucking homework done. You know, because it's a different story. So I wonder if that plays a big role. I mean, you know, the fact that they get free school, if the parents just feel like they don't have to put their own input on it. And me as a parent, like, it's just, I'm excited to see what homework they get, you know. I wonder if it's just more of the whole heavy day or long day of work that's causing a lot of parents to just give up, you know, when it comes down to that.
See, that's the thing. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard something, I don't know if it was a rumor or what, but from my school, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it's true, but it was like you missed, whether it was one period or one class or whatever, mm-hmm. that you would get some sort of ticket. I think. Uh-huh. And then your parents had to, it was like $50 if you missed.
That's horrible.
It was the whole day or just one class.
I think that's cool.
Nah. Your parents are poor enough, man. Don't especially charge
they're going
more.
To public school.
No, but yeah, then, but as but a parent, I'm going to make sure like, that my kid goes to class.
If you're having like to pay for school, then you're going to make sure that your kid is in school.
I wouldn't
you
don't think
I'm
so.
Not saying it's the right
if
thing.
If I got to pay, if I got to pay because Fulanito didn't go to class, I'm going to be like, yo, I'm going to not go to work because that fucking $50 is probably my day's
work. Let me paint a scenario for you. Your kid's 13 years old.
Yeah.
He likes this girl, and she has a different class. So every day at lunch, he's gonna skip class so he can go to her lunch.
Well, then he's gonna have to work. He's gonna have to mow the lawn so that he could pay for that ticket.
All right, but what about when those tickets keep increasing for you?
Exactly.
What would you do then?
It doesn't work that way. I mean, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if you gotta pay for your kids to go to school, you gotta be privileged. I mean, it goes to the way that you are privileged for that matter. Because, I mean...
But she's talking about if they miss class...
The school is ticketing the families
so
that your
it's
kids kinda
like,
school.
So what they're saying is that it comes down to the fact of, okay, if your kid doesn't go to class, then he's going to get a $50 ticket for not making it to class. And then the parent's going to get a little bit more strict with the kid and be like, yo, you need to go to class because you right now we can't afford to buy bread because your ass didn't want to go to class.
I feel that's deflecting.
What
we got? That's we got reflecting responsibilities that should fall on the school.
The kid
no, I'm not coming at you. It's because I work in education, so I have real strong opinions.
If I have to pay $50 for my kid to go to because he didn't go to class or get a ticket, he would not be going to school. He'd be homeschooled or something like that. Because I would not be paying.
But you got to work though. So how are you going to be able to homeschool?
See, I think that's what she was saying. How it all comes back to the house, right? Uh-huh. Is teaching your kids that it's not right to be skipping class, whether it's for a girl or not. You got to instill those morals and values that. You can't be cutting class. Mm-hmm. Whatever's being done in the classroom is right or wrong, you got to teach them responsibility. Mm-hmm. Your responsibility is to go to school, to be there on time.
Yeah.
And that starts at
home. Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that. I just don't agree with charging the parents a $50 ticket.
Yeah.
I think there's another way you can implement that lesson.
Of course.
Just because there's and I think I'm speaking from the perspective of families who really were just kind of struggling by to get through.
Yeah.
And so
I understand that.
It's too big of a burden. What happens if the parents? Because I know if I got a ticket for skipping school, which I did every once in a while, my mom would just say, "I'll be honest, I'm not paying this." When they try to implement uniforms in our high school, my mom told them,
"Yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening. Well, I'm not buying uniforms for my four kids. There's enough I'm dealing with." Right. And so I understand the lesson they want to teach, but I would critique the method.
But then it goes down to it where as a kid, right, I feel like as a parent or as a teacher, we talked about this with David, was that you want to make sure that the kid feels like they're doing it for you, you know, as well. Mm-hmm. So that like they have a investment in you. So as a kid, if my parents have to pay this ticket, I know that they're sweating, you know, to just provide food on a table. I'm going to think, man, I don't want mommy papi to have to go through this, you know, so I feel like that has to be instilled earlier. And just put it in their head like, yo, you know, I can't afford to pay for you to miss class.
Right.
So you better go to class. Don't get a $50 ticket. You know, so I feel like that's where you put a little bit, como se dice, a little bit more of, you put it on their plate, right? And they start learning responsibility at an early age. Exactly. So, I mean, I like that rule, but I mean, I know I understand where it comes down to it, where it's, you know, it's a burden for those that don't have the money.
We'll disagree on that one.
We agree to disagree.
Hey, guys, one more time, it's Lever That Podcast. And you just saw a perfect example. We have different perspective. It's a different piece of the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, who knows? If I was placed on the situation, I probably wouldn't like it either. You know, if I had to pay $50 for every time.
Because I used to go have lunch with the girl.
You'd be pissed. You'd be like, no, I'm not going to pay for it. No.
But on the other hand, you know, I have a daughter.
13 and 14-year-old kid, I can say that was a very big obstacle. Oh, yeah.
It was.
So then this kind of, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to switch it up real quick.
Transitioning.
Okay. I have a daughter, right?
I'm scared of what's happening.
I have a daughter, right? So let's say, okay, so if it was, this kind of throws it into a whole other realm, right? So we got girls in the room, so now let's see what their perspective is. So as a dad, if it was a son and he skipped class, you know, to go chill with his girlfriend, you know, do you think as the guys here in the room, would you be like, all right, you know what? I'll pay for that $50 ticket. You know, at least my son's.
Wait.
At least the guys are with the, At least my son's with a girl.
We have an
Wait,
opinion
before
over here.
You Nothing. Go answer the question,
I wasn't gonna
do
answer.
You have a daughter or a son? I know you said you had a 3-year-old.
I have
3-year-old.
A 3-year-old little princess.
Yeah, okay, so you guys have you guys are fathers of daughters,
and
I'm
I
a mother of a son, so okay. These should
there you
be
go.
Interesting.
You got the perfect person.
This should be interesting.
Keep your son away from my daughter, we'll be all right. They can be friends at 18.
Caleb can't
Not
have
even,
any
man,
friends
35.
With our girls. Sorry.
So. If I was a dad and I had a daughter, I mean, a
well,
son.
Well,
you are a dad.
I mean, if I was a dad and I had a son, I meant to say, right? I'll probably, you know, I hate to be that guy, but I'll probably be like, okay, you skip class to be with a girl. You know, I did it too, you know.
You would pay the $50 a little easier?
But then with my daughter, I'll
be
like, yo.
Yeah, no, that's a no-no.
I'm like, ¿qué tú estás haciendo?
What? That's so, like, I think I have an older brother, and I experienced that a lot just with, I think, the rules that boys have growing up and the rules that girls have growing up. And I grew up with both of my parents in the household. So, like, my brother was allowed to do a lot more things than what I was growing up. Like, I got yelled at a little bit more for doing things that my brother didn't. So, I think that's crazy.
That's, you know, it's one of those where it's like, What do you feel about it, Vanessa?
What's the exact question again? Because
she's already
I got a lot.
She's thinking about the barbecue.
Here.
She's like, no, I came. Here, I didn't come here for a podcast. I came here for a barbecue.
No, I'm okay.
So let's say you had a son, right?
Okay.
He skips class.
Okay.
You get a ticket for
What's your reaction to it? He got a ticket, $50 ticket.
I mean, yeah, I don't know about an ass whooping, but I'm not gonna let it slide because. I mean, kind of like her situation too, and I think it's a common theme in all like Latino families where men are obviously treated differently than women.
Mm-hmm. Give them more rein.
Whether they're older or younger, because my brother is younger, right? And same thing. If I went out somewhere, it was 20 questions. Where are you going? Who are you going with? How long are you going to be? When are you going to be home? All these questions. My brother, yeah, go. It's all right. It's cool. Whatever. No questions asked. So if I had a son and if I get a ticket because he did whatever, yeah, we're going to have a talk. Yeah, there's going to be a consequence. Because if he doesn't learn that there is a consequence for actions that are wrong, mm-hmm. quote unquote, right? He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. He needs to know there's a consequence mm-hmm. for it. I don't know what that consequence is. I'm not a parent, so I really can't.
You'll have some time
speak
to think about it between now and then.
I'm sure, right. Yeah. So I'm speaking from, you know, a single person that has no kids. So it's different. I really can't really say my honest answer. But I still think at the end of the day, there needs to be a consequence. Yeah, how I handle it may be a little different because, I mean, I don't know.
But it'd be the same if I had a daughter. Like, and that's where I think we're disagree or it's different opinions here. You're saying with your son, if you guys had a son, you might be a little bit like, okay, I'll pay the $50. But with a daughter, you might be a little bit more harsher on it.
Hell
but
yeah.
I feel like I would react the same for my son or my daughter.
That's true.
Man, well, the thing is, that's the mother's intuition. They'll do that.
That's the thing is exactly.
With a dad, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We have the, like, it's that guy mentality. You want your son to grow up and be a man. You
right.
know, you want him to macho, you know? Like, have them.
Go ahead and skip class. It's fine.
Go ahead, boy. Just do it. Especially if he's like around like 15, 16 years old. I'm like, oh, yeah, go ahead, boy. You want the keys? Here you go.
That's so fucked up.
I'm dying over here. Please, man. I'm dying.
Tell us how you
I
feel.
I cannot imagine.
I'm glad you guys have a lot to say because this is an area I call myself a hypocrite.
Why?
Because of everything they said. I think that definitely there's a big cultural influence in my perspective. But for sure, if it was my son, like I wouldn't tell him it's okay and I tell him he has to act different. So I'd have that whole talk cool. But at the end of the day, I'd be like, my man, right? At the end of the day, I'd be like, hey, I get it. You know, that was me. But if it was my daughter, I do know that I can say whatever I want right now. But if it happened in the situation posed in front of me, I know that if it was today and my daughter was, you know, 15, 16, I 100% would be a lot more strict and it would be a lot more negative.
Yep.
I know it's not right. And I think that's something, I guess I have a good... You know, let's say it's I got a good 15, 16 years of pine, hopefully not earlier than that, but that is something I would need to work on if this whole idea of being fair as a parent is to be real.
I think it has to do with the way that we grew up, you know, and I know we're going to have a lot of listeners being like, yo, like, you know, with that whole,
and with the whole, like, kind of like, yo, like, you know, that's not what we think, but, you know, this comes down to La Verdad for what we believe, but if you guys have a different opinion, feel free to hit us up. But, you know, the way that we grew up was kind of like, you know, that machista kind of thing. Like, I grew up in that
it's,
culture.
It's a big
part,
you know,
of it. Not saying that I was completely strict. You know, it's my house was full of boys. You know, it's me, my brother, my dad, and then my mom. My mom used to always be pissed off because she was the only female in the house. We never understood what she was going through. We never did, you know, it was just full of testosterone in the house. It was always guys. So I feel like now that God blessed me with a daughter, I'm like, it's kind of God telling me, oh, okay, now you got to understand what your mom was going through. Yeah. You know, now you got to kind of like, you know, soften it up because it's always been boys, you know? So sometimes I start thinking about the future and I start getting anxiety. I'm like, oh my God, like, if this girl ever brings a boyfriend to the house, like, I already got gray hairs growing, man. Like, and just thinking about it.
I believe
it,
in karma, so I'm just trying to prepare ahead of time.
That's why I was always good with girls, man.
Yeah, my grandma always said, may she rest in peace, that the way your kids treat, no, the way you treated your parents, when you have kids, that they're going to treat you two times worse.
That's why I always treated my mom good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mommy, I love you.
In my household, I had two older brothers who were the two oldest, and then one older sister who was third, and I'm fourth. I'm the youngest.
Okay. El bebé
de la casa. And listen, 100%, we all got to have girlfriends. She couldn't have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. The first time she had a boyfriend, to my knowledge, was but we all went to the same high school. If she did have a boyfriend before that, then I guess she did a good job of hiding it. But it wasn't until like after graduating high school, going into college. And I know this because guys would actually approach, even though I was younger than her, older guys would approach me and said, hey, can I date your sister? Just because we had a lot of friends and I knew a lot of people in school, like, you know, like just respect. So they would come to me and I would flat out say no. And so it was dope saying that because I knew they would listen. I hope they were listening. but really, it's at the end of the day, it wasn't right. Yeah. But it's just kind of how we grew up. And if it were to go again, it probably happened the same way, to be honest.
So, ladies, growing up in that, I'm sure you guys probably shared the same sentiment where, you know, especially you said that you grew up with
an older brother.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this shaped you? Do you think it bothered you in any way now that you think about it? You know, if you were able to change that, if you have a daughter, are you going to change that? Are you going to make sure that mentality is not there?
I think I would try to be fair, but as much as I'm like against the treating the daughter and son different, I wouldn't change how I was raised as far as like my dad was extremely protective and my brother, because I think it shaped me to be like a more just as a woman to look for what I look for in men and how I expect them to treat me.
Interesting.
See, that's why dads are tough on their girls.
Yeah, and I was am a huge daddy's girl. And I know Vanessa can attest to that.
That's
too.
Why if I ever have a daughter, that she'll be a daddy's girl.
Yeah,
I
mean,
make sure of that.
Our dads are our best. Our parents are really, really good. We've known each other our entire lives. Our dads are best friends. So the same way how she's saying that, you know, she, you know, wants to do the same way that she was raised, she wants to do for her children too, and I would agree because I was raised the exact same way. You know, our parents were really strict, whether it's less on my brother, more on me. I would like to continue that. And that's something too, and then when you get married with someone, you have to have those conversations on how you're going to raise your kids. Because if you were raised one way and your partner was raised a different way, that's a whole other conversation you need to have, especially if you're mixing cultures or just mixing from where you grew up.
And that's interesting because I thought y'all were going to say something different. So I was had a bunch of things in my back pocket.
What did you think we were going to say?
Like, pop, 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 pop. Like, okay.
I was like, oh, God, I opened up the wrong lid.
They were getting ready for you to, like, come. He was getting ready for you to combat it. Yeah. He's like, no, it's wrong.
Yeah, no, you're such an
egg. I think it's wrong, but I genuinely wouldn't change it.
Okay.
I mean, there are certain things I would change as far as, like, how as a parent I would handle things, maybe not so much on my children, but just as a parent in a relationship, I would change the way based on what happened in my parents' relationship, not so much as on the parenting part, if that makes sense.
Now right there. Let's talk a little bit about relationships when it comes down to that, right?
Since you brought it up.
I totally did that.
You want to argue, right?
That was a good transition. She's a podcast pro. That was the perfect transition right there.
I got you guys.
They made sure of that. I mean,
you prepared us for this conversation, so I'm ready.
So being that let's say, okay, especially Latino guys, right?
Uh-huh.
And maybe you guys can attest Orinzo, we got Orinzo here in the room now. A lot of the Latino males are brought up as being kind of like mama's boy, right? You know, like mom always kind of takes care of the boy, right?
Yeah.
Dad always toughens him up,
exactly.
Right? Beta jugar baseball, beta hacer esto, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Mommy's like, oh, mira, mi nene, always, right? They always make sure that your the food is cooked.
Right.
So, do you guys see that a lot more in the Latino community? Or what? Or do you think it's not relevant at all? Do you think, what do you guys think?
The mama's boy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, well, my experience, so Caleb, my son's father, he's African-American, and he's definitely a mama's boy, so I don't know. But being a woman and being raised, both of my parents were Puerto Rican, like, I was definitely raised to make sure you know how to cook, that you feed your man, that you clean, you know, like, those. And
class
so,
for that. I mean, cool.
You know, so that's, and I think that's very...
Orizo doesn't want to hop on the mic, but he made a reaction.
What's your thoughts? We could pick it up over here. What's your thoughts, Orizo?
No comment.
No comment. No, but I want to know, what's the definition of a mama's boy, though? What you got a definition of a mama's boy?
But see, he's an only child, so that's different.
Okay. So there's a difference.
Well, look, I'm an only child. I'm an only child raised by my mother.
Were you just your mother? Okay.
No father.
So you're a mama's boy.
So I want to know the definition of a mama's boy. Like, what is your perspective of that?
Speaking of mama, my mommy just calling me. I got to pick up.
Perfect timing.
So you're saying, what's the definition of mama's boy for that?
What's the definition? Like, you being a grown man right
have
now?
Have you ever,
a 27-year-old man or 25-year-old man.
And if I call him a mama's boy, exactly. Why would I say that?
Yeah.
To
piss him off.
Man. Yeah. Oh, that pisses you guys off? If we call you guys a mama's boy?
It's
as a grown
like a low
man?
Blow.
It's a low blow. It's
why?
A low blow.
It's kind of like saying that like you're just...
It's not like you're weak. Like you're not a man. Like you just... Like,
yeah.
You
oh,
need
you're
your
a mama's boy. You need your mom.
Wait, do you feel like that if someone were to call you a daddy's girl that it weakens
no,
you?
No, I think it's a different
perspective.
It's different. It's different. It's around.
Why?
With a daddy's girl and a mama's boy, it's different around. Because with a mama's boy...
Mm-hmm.
With
my hey, como decir that you can't do shit
yeah,
without your mom.
Without your mom. Like, that's my perspective.
With daddy's girl, it's like... You better not fuck with me because my dad will beat your ass. You know?
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my daddy. He got my back. You know what
I
saying?
Don't think there's a negative connotation with being a mama's boy, though. I don't. If I say you're a mama's boy, in some aspects, I don't think... Because to me, a mama's boy is like, you're going to go to your mom for kind of any situation. And I don't think that's a negative thing at all. Because I go to my dad... As a daddy's girl, and I don't see it as being negative at all.
I feel like you're probably the first person to ever say that.
Yeah. Well, that being a mama's boy is not negative.
Not bad. Yeah, that's
most females like, that I talk to or anything.
We're not
like
most
that.
Females. Let me just make that clear right now.
That was the most females.
We are not most females.
Okay. I see that.
And we're gonna take a pause real quick. No, but most girls
retract.
Yeah. Most girls that you know the. Or most people that you talk to, they'll basically say, you know, like, they'll use that word in a negative connotation, right? They'll say, mama's boy is like somebody that can't even wash their own clothes or take care of themselves, right? You need your mom to do everything for you. So
you guys wash your own clothes?
Yes.
Okay, good answer.
My wife,
I clean my room.
Oh. look. Sorry, I don't know what they were talking about.
Shout out, wifey.
That's the thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can live by myself, and I'll live on my own, and I'll wash my clothes, I'll clean my food, I mean, I'll cook my food. Like, I'll do everything.
Tú sabes cocinar?
Yeah, I can make a little something. I can survive.
Throw down
go.
A little
I'll
bit.
Survive. I can survive.
TV dinners, baby. What's up?
No.
Cuadobo, cuadobo.
I'll survive on arroz con huevo. Like, I can survive.
Okay,
make, you know what I'm saying? Plátano con salami. Things like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna go ahead and buy no man dinners or no frozen. Nah. I'll throw something down and try to get something cooking.
But when they say mama's boy, man, it's like a... Man.
It's a low blow, man. It's a low blow.
I apologize if I offended
it's
you guys.
It's used. I think it's used by a lot of people as a low blow on
it
purpose.
Is,
and
is.
So, whether it's good or bad, I think a lot of men would take it as a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know a lot of like I don't know if you ever heard "Oh, tiene mamitis," you know, like
sí,
yeah,
sí.
You know.
See.
Like it's just and it's a niño ñoño.
That's like saying like mommy.
Like sissy, like sissy.
Okay.
That's like saying that like, he's sissy. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like
he's saying a mama's voice. Like
mira que ñoño, mira que ñoño.
Yeah.
You know? Like when their babies, when the kid is crying, a boy, especially boys.
Ay, es que yo le digo, yo soy un hombre, coño, tú estás loca.
Yeah, when they're crying and stuff, they're like, oh, he's a mama's boy. Yeah, he wants his mom.
I have a mixed relationship with that term. And it's like, because I have a super close relationship with my mom.
Right. That's what I was going to ask.
I do too, and I've been called a mama's boy
super,
before.
Super close. My wife calls me a mama's boy all the time.
Oh, does it? And it hurts. Does it hurt?
Actually, no.
See, I think
no.
It depends on your definition
it doesn't, because I understand the way she's using it.
Exactly.
Right?
She if sees you the understand relationship. How she's
not
using
me, man.
It,
wait,
it's
not
a difference.
Listen, I'll go to her house. She's on the couch. I'll go lay on her. I'll go, like, lay my head on her lap and lie down.
Right.
And watch TV. Like, to me, it's a close relationship. I super close. But at the same time, it's like, I get why a lot of people don't like it.
No, man. If somebody tells me I'm a mama's boy, and people have told me that before, I get pissed. But I am kind of a mama's boy.
Have you ever have you ever asked them why and what their reasonings were?
I don't know. I don't think I have. No,
I think you should
live
have.
Your truth. It gets better, bro.
See, like for me, I don't have that close relationship as well, like to my mom, because she gave me that tough love. You know, she was like a young mother, and just made sure she made sure that I
now,
had things
not
done
to get too
thing.
Personal, but is it single family, single mother, or
single mother, just me and her?
So exactly. So,
but she, had to take tough the role. Love. It's, you know, it's tough.
But she had to take
like,
that dad
yeah,
role.
Do you feel like she had to take mom and dad?
She wasn't saying, she wasn't going like, oh baby, I love you and things like that. No, it was
exactly because she felt. Yeah. She felt that she had to give you the double role, the father and the...
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas, you know, with my family, you know, my dad was the tough guy, and then my mom was very, very like, oh, peinate pelo, have everything done, clothes planchadito, you know, all that stuff. So I definitely see where that comes from, where that mama's boy. But I've seen, you know, I know single parents, and I know where they say, you know what, I have to teach them that tough love. Mm-hmm. Where they fall, I hit them with a chancleta so they could feel it worse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, I didn't get that, you know. So when it comes down to that mama's boy, I get offended. You know, it's like, oh, man, like, they're calling
they
me out.
Nerve.
They're telling
I really
me I can't
think
do
you
anything.
You should ask why they're calling you that, because, like, he
was
saying.
I'm going to ask somebody when they're making fun of me.
Yeah.
Why are you calling me a mama's boy?
So, okay, so maybe, but are they making fun of you? Or are they making the point that
you
love
you
your mother, that you would do anything for her, that you respect her? You know what I mean? I think you should ask why they're calling you that.
Like, I respect my mom. I love my mom because she taught me tough love, you know? Like, she made sure I was strong.
Yeah.
Even though she was on her own doing it all, she made sure that I was doing things the right way. So, I mean, to me, I can't be considered a mama's boy to my perspective, so, just because she was tough.
So you guys have never dated a guy that was like too mama's boy?
Too sissy. That's
gotta,
what he means.
You don't got to say no names.
Too sissy. That's
you
what
don't
got
to say names, you know?
You mean too sissy. Too
yeah,
too
like,
weak,
like
soft,
yo,
soft.
Like, you mad soft. Like,
yeah, there you go, soft.
And it doesn't always have
like,
to be
are you crying?
Boy,
like,
so that's a different question, though, because really? It doesn't necessarily have to be a mama's boy type of thing.
No, I'm using that word in
a... Just too soft.
I'm using that in a negative connotation.
Too sensitive.
Too sensitive?
That's a better way to put it. For whatever
I don't
reason.
Think
where
I...
it was like, yo, you're acting like a girl right now. I shouldn't even say that right now. I shouldn't say that right now.
I just got the worst
look.
Not acting like a girl. You're acting soft. You're acting very soft right now. You're very, like, emotional.
Yeah.
I don't think I dated anyone in particular, but I will say when I am talking to men, or what I look for in a man is definitely someone who's more of the machismo, like, not sensitive type.
So you kind
of... Me gusta la vaina de los hombres. No. That's exactly what a girl should be looking for, though. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what a girl should be looking for.
Wait. Because
now
I'm going to be that guy.
Not that much. He's more like, not that, like, I'll go wash the dishes type of thing, but...
Cause now
not like that.
Not like that. Not like that, but, like, you know what I'm saying? We can help each other.
No, I didn't even hear that, but...
So you're washing dishes.
No, not even like that, because, you know, if I have with my daughter, I don't want her to look for, like, and no offense, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want her to look for a guy that's going to be telling her what to do, because you know what? I'll get pissed as hell if I go into, my daughter's dating a guy and I go in there and the guy's like, hey, go cook me a meal, make me a sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be like, yo, like.
That's why you make sure your daughter.
Make your own goddamn
that's
sandwich.
That's why you make sure
your
daughter is an independent woman. That's what
you make sure,
you know what I'm saying? You gave her that love that. You're gonna be good.
But then
by yourself,
you're saying that she's not independent.
Maybe I said something wrong. I'm not looking for someone to tell me what to do. I'm looking for someone who's just like not a
He's gonna get in action.
Wait, let's define, because I think I used the wrong word then. Me saying machismo, that means telling me what to do. I think you might be using the word in a different sense. I believe so too then because, and granted, I don't speak Spanish, so maybe I'm using the word in the wrong tense. Mm-hmm. But don't, yeah, I'm not looking for a man to tell me go wash the dishes or go make me a sandwich because, yeah, that would piss me off.
I think from what I know about Nati, I think she's definitely looking for someone that's going to be able to take care of her at the end of the day. Of course, she could take care of herself. She does it right now. But, you know, if she needs help, if she needs something done, she wants to know that the man's going to be able to do something. If it's not him that's going to be able to do it, he's going to be able to find the solution for it or find a way to figure it out. I mean, I don't know.
A manly man. Is that, know how to change a tire. Know how to change a tire. Know how to work on a car. And that might be going into gender roles a little bit of what I expect a man should do and what I think a woman should do. But... like, as a man, if you don't know how to change a tire, because I definitely don't, and that's probably really bad for me, but that's, I'm going to be like...
Okay, so taking it a little bit more into a deeper route, do you feel like a lot of guys nowadays are losing that touch?
Mm-hmm. A little bit. A little bit.
Why? And I remember hearing a conversation on another podcast where the guy was talking about, you know, guys are softer now. You know, they don't... You know, and he was blaming it on what you eat, like eating chicken that has, like, you know,
different
types.
Chicken makes you softer?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know
food makes you softer.
Hey, I love chicken.
No, I gotta no, but he was saying basically the food that we eat, the processed food that we eat, makes guys, you know, get a little bit more. He called it the pussification of men.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, guys that just act like... And I don't want to say like girls, but just act feminine or not act like the needy. Let's put it that way.
They
needy.
Act weak.
Weak. Yeah.
But see, okay, so we're speaking on the idea that you have heterosexual relationships. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right?
Correct.
Okay.
We're talking about normative gender roles.
No, yeah.
I'm throwing it
out. Normative. Yes. Okay, interesting.
Masculinity. Oh, what does it mean? What's expected? Yeah. What's expected to be normal?
I'm not saying there is a right way at all.
Okay.
You have a question? Right.
I know I don't have a question. I'm just saying, obviously, we're speaking in terms of heterosexual relationships.
Correct.
And talking about
men and a woman.
Oh, no. I wasn't implying at all that being homosexual or something else is wrong in any way. That wasn't what I was implying.
Okay. Or not. Exactly.
Correct. That's not what I implied at all. I was referring more to the idea or the concept of what is deemed to be a normative masculinity.
Okay.
Right? Not saying that it's right, but that there is this idea of what a quote-unquote should
be. Of what
be.
Masculinity
correct.
Is.
And it'll vary and shift, right? You go to Arabic culture, it might be a little different than from, you know, East Asian than what you'll find in South Africa or in the Caribbean. And so it's a little different. It's a social construct depending where you're at.
Yeah, because I think sometimes when you get into the conversation of a man looks weak, you're talking in terms of a heterosexual relationship. Maybe, because maybe men, when you're saying this is weak, maybe that's what other men want in a man in terms of a homosexual relationship or what a woman wants in another woman. That's a whole other conversation. So,
or it's very... if a woman wants in a man. There are women who desire a man to be quote unquote what we consider to be more feminine traits.
Correct.
Right? There's women who want that, and so then the question becomes: are we saying that one is right or one's wrong?
No.
So are we placing a value system on these actions, or are we just saying we're noticing a different trend emerging?
Yes, I would just say that we're speaking to the things that me, Vanessa, what I desire.
Yeah, and
what I
want. Correct. Right. That could vary from one person to the next.
Of course. Right.
Orizo's in the house. Orizo, he's been waiting. Everyone's been waiting for him.
Dun,
how you
dun,
doing?
Dun.
It's pretty interesting. Now, I think at the end of the day, it comes down to establishing a relationship where you actually create a partnership with that person. Whether it's male, female, same sex, whatever. It comes down to having the same goals in life. Do you want to have a house in 10 years? Do you want to be traveling, have fun in the future? And once you have that established, everything plays one step at a time. But you have to have that mentality. Mm-hmm. If the two person, whether the male, females, whatever, don't have the same idea about the future, ain't going away. Machismo,
dropping wisdom.
So you need that unit to work, right? You need those two individuals to, or in some cases,
goals.
You know,
goals.
I respect the ones who have multiple partners at once. I respect them. polygamous. Yeah. I have some friends who are in that, those type of relationships.
You know, it's a new trend. Right.
So whatever it is, whatever that relationship unit is, you need to get together and figure out what your goals are and what's going to work and what's not going to work, right? And that'll be different from one person to another.
100%.
Like, I appreciate a hot cooked meal when I get home. But I don't, but it's, I also understand that's not an expectation where there's going to be a problem.
Exactly.
Right. And I know where you're going. I should also cook and get into that as well.
No, you expect a hot meal when you get home,
I said I appreciate.
You appreciate, but at the same time, your wife will appreciate some nice flowers. Some
Yeah, of course.
Girl,
yeah.
You're so beautiful. I just want to get you now.
Yeah, yeah. There's different ways you show affection and the ways that you show you appreciate the other person.
Yeah. Everybody's different. Everybody like receives that appreciation, receives everybody.
And that's why you got to get to know that person.
Exactly.
You know
that there comes with knowing your partner 100%,
there was
knowing what they like.
Or a presentation, and they talked about that everyone has different love languages.
Yes.
Right? So for one person, showing affection. Damn, Daniel.
Yeah.
So showing affection for one person might mean you're cooking for them. For another person, it might be, damn, baby, you mowed a really nice lawn. I appreciate that. Another one might be, give me a bunch of hugs, right?
Right.
And another one, it could just be, I just want you to hear you say that you love me, right?
Right.
So all have different love languages, and that's another that's another piece of relationship building.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I took that test, you know what I'm saying?
Oh.
What test? Wait,
I didn't know that. You're going Brugal.
What test?
There's a love languages test, and you know, I'm more
it's online, just Google it.
Google it.
I will. Google.
Hit up the Google machine.
I'm
more of the words of affirmation type, you know what I'm saying? So I like when people tell me, you know, hey, you got a fresh lining today. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying?
Or like,
thank you for the flowers you brought me. I appreciate that. Stuff like that. Whereas other people that I've talked to and stuff like that, they might have a different type of love language. So understanding that from the get-go, I think will last longer. And what Rinso was talking about, understanding that goals are, that you guys have common goals, will definitely take you to a whole nother level. And I'm no relationship expert, and I hope that we have a relationship expert listening to hit us up, because this takes us into a whole deeper topic. There's mental, there's psychological things behind it of why relationships fail, why relationships work. So definitely, if you're listening out there, hit us up. Talk to us, because we want to get you in here and talk a little bit more about this in detail. But as Orinso mentioned, if you have goals together, it's kind of like you're not working against each other. You know what I'm saying? You're working with each other. And I feel like that for sure will definitely give me more of that thrive to want to continue with it. And you won't get as tired of it, you know? Everybody got kind of quiet. Why is everybody kind of quiet?
Relationship cloth talk.
Relationship
cloth.
I'm
trying to Google the quiz right now.
Relationship is a devil. No, we're not Googling. This is La Verdad. This is all truth. Your truth.
No, I'm saying we're Googling that quiz.
I think everybody's kind of hungry.
They're looking up the love language quiz.
Look, relationship is a devil. That's all I'm going to say. Relationship is the devil. That's what it is.
It's the devil?
It's the devil.
Relationships are not the devil. You got to have a positive mindset. If you have a negative negative mentality, that's not gonna get you anywhere.
You see my guy back
it's
there.
It's not a negative
chill,
mentality.
Dude.
It's just, you know, when you have to deal with a woman that's gonna argue with you all the
time.
But
see, there you go. The words that you use, the words that you just chose right now is your mentality. You have
that's
to
not,
deal with a woman. You shouldn't have to
let
deal
him know,
with a woman.
Let him know.
Right?
Wait, it's not there like.
Go home. Go home, Ivy. Go home.
I might lose this one.
No. He was talking about earlier about having the same goals and that. Working
why
towards
is that
a
lion crying right now? Yo, on your shirt.
Get out
so
while
when
you
you're
still
using
can, Ivan.
That language of dealing
can.
With a woman,
you can't argue with a woman, bro. Come on.
I might win. Wait a minute. Go ahead.
That's my point.
She just made the point. If you weren't listening, that's on you. Were you paying attention? Were you respecting her time?
Whoa, the jodito.
I quit.
Just saying.
I'm an instigator, guys. Sorry.
I quit.
If a relationship is something that you want, you gotta have a positive mindset. Right. By choosing those words, deal with a woman, that right there is a negative mindset. It's a negative tone.
Correct.
You shouldn't have to deal with your wife. Right. Deal with your partner.
Okay, but when it comes to the point that she'll get mad about anything and just any little
then
thing.
Then maybe she's not the one for you.
Okay, see then.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't know your personality.
Or maybe you can look in the mirror and find out if you're the cause.
But here's
what are you trying to say,
Carlos? Wait a minute. What if you are the cause?
That
but
if
you don't care.
If you don't care, then the girl should leave you.
But if you do care, then you'll acknowledge it and have that conversation and say, you know what? I realize this is something I've been doing wrong, and I want you to know that I'm going to work on it. And if you catch me slipping in this particular area I've identified, call me out on it. And that's right. What we can move together, maybe. That's an idea.
You have to be able to understand the things that work for you and things that don't work for you, and same thing for her. And that goes back to that when we're talking about the love languages quiz. I mean, if you want to take it, take it. But like, I think it's important to understand what you want, what you need, and how you receive just affection, how you receive love, and what you expect in a relationship. It's important to know those things about yourself before you enter a relationship. Because if you don't know those things, you're going to play a guessing game, and then it's going to end up falling apart.
Wow. I got you. And she speaks.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic.
No, best friend. That's my best friend.
Mamba out. Mamba out.
Christian. That's a good way to start wrapping it up. We've been here. Honestly, I feel like I could sit here and we could talk for another 3 hours, yep. But
probably.
We're going to respect
it.
Oh, well, you,
when you got women on your podcast, you can be here for hours.
Final word.
Go ahead.
We're going to let the OG in the room,
the
OG, drop
us
with some wisdom.
All right, now.
Give him the mic.
This is for Frida Kahlo, right? Says, si yo pudiera darte una cosa en la vida, me gustaría darte la capacidad de verte a ti mismo a través de mis ojos.
Let me pause and translate it. Yes. If I can give you something in life, it would be the ability to see yourself through my eyes.
Okay. Then says, solo entonces te darías cuenta de lo especial que eres para mí.
Only then will you realize how special you are to me.
Now, when you think about that, right?
Take him to church.
What is he talking about? Okay. Can you see what I see? That's bottom line. Can you see what I see? Can you see me in your life? Can you see me in your life that I see you in my life? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Okay? I agree.
Doesn't matter machismo, feminism, doesn't matter. Do you see me in your life in the future? Not just you sitting playing stupid video game and me in the kitchen. Not that. Forget about that.
But
you
she might like that, life. Though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting.
Right.
I think we could all agree on that.
Yeah. And then that's where I'll drop all the having to deal with arguing and all that. Like, no, if I see you in my future,
it's all right, though.
If I see you in my future and I know what we're capable of, it's okay.
Okay.
It's
we don't deal with it anyway.
We don't deal with
her.
I wonder what DJ Khaled has to think about this. But
hey, this being special cloth alert.
This
cloth
is cloth
talk,
man.
Bungalow talk.
Everything talk, man.
But listen, guys, we appreciate you all listening all this way. Hey, I don't know about you, Christian, but I think this might be top two podcasts for me. I think this one and Young Lords are my two favorites right there.
This one's good.
Because, well, for one, we have such a vibrant conversation with a bunch of different perspectives. And we really went from like ratchet to righteous, like a big T-shirt talk. I stole that from another podcast. I said it on a T-shirt. If it's good, we can use it, right? So we talked education. We talked Ivan's ratchet relationship tendencies, mm-hmm. and like everything. In
Did
between.
He just say Ivan being ratchet?
I'm the ratchet one.
It's okay.
All right,
sorry.
But Christian. You want to leave him with some parting words?
Yeah, definitely. Keep on the lookout. We're definitely going to take it into a whole different perspective. We talked about scholarship. Now we're going to talk about relationships and using the relationship, being in the community. I definitely want to say thank you guys for joining us today, Vanessa, Nati.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you for having
Ivan.
Us.
Thank you for coming all the way out here. We're about to get the grill started. You know, Chicago is nice today.
Like
stay safe. Put the guns down, Chicago. Come on.
Yeah. When I got in the city, the first thing Christian told me, it's a real nice day.
It's going to be about 12.
I wonder how many people are going to die this weekend.
Yeah.
That's the realest thing you could have said when we got here.
You got to keep it real, man. But you know, mi gente, muchas gracias por estar con nosotros. You know, it means a lot for you guys to listening in to La Verdad Podcast. So
hey,
thank you once
subscribe,
again.
Subscribe, rate, review on iTunes.
Don't
hit us
forget.
Up on SoundCloud. Leave a really nice review. Give us 5 stars. We'll catch you next week.
We're gonna be out. Peace.
Bye.
new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.